Hey everyone, this is Pilar Anderson, and I am Fat Girl Talking. And today I'm talking about the fat tax and kind of the struggles of traveling when you're overweight. Hope you stay with me. Hi everyone, this is Pilar Anderson, and this is episode 2 of my new podcast called Fat Girl Talking. Why do I have a podcast called Fat Girl Talking? Recent events have brought me to the point of frustration where I really wanted to just talk about the fact that overweight people are people too. They exist. They're not just side views or whatever. They are actual legit people that should be included even if they are overweight. So that would be my piece of advice or my thoughts on that. So I wanted to talk a little bit today. Thank you all if you listened to episode 1. If you didn't, I have a part 2 story from episode 1, so you might want to go back and listen to that episode first and then come back to this one. But if not, so as I mentioned last time, I went on a cruise with my husband. It was not my most favorite cruise in the whole world. I had a swimsuit issue where I had been cleaning up stuff in my house, and I ended up discarding all of my swimsuits, or actually probably donating them to Goodwill, which is, I mean, I cannot explain to you the horror that I felt when I realized that had happened. Since I've come back to the cruise from the cruise, I have been sorting through clothes, and in fact, I cannot find those swimsuits anywhere. So they had to have been donated, which I don't recommend. Excuse me. I also am getting over my cold, which is why it took so long to do this second episode. I have been coughing like a, I don't know what, coughing fool, and it makes it very hard. My first episode, I had to edit out so many coughs, and it stitched my episode wrong, back together wrong, so I had a heck of a time publishing, and so I was determined not to record again until I could cough with very little edit. So you're going to get a few coughs from me because Anchor is a, while it is a wonderful tool, it sure is particular about cutting segments out of your podcast. So I go on this cruise. Our last stop happened to be Cozumel, Mexico. And we decided, first off, my husband was able to swim with the pigs in the first, at the first stop to a private island. And there was only one spot available, so the plan had been for the both of us to swim with pigs. But instead, I stayed on the private island and just drank pina coladas all day and then kind of stumbled aboard the boat, which was sort of the whole theme of the trip. Bad things happened while we were gone, and we were getting updates on those bad things. And so I pretty much stayed in a state of trying to keep myself with a healthy buzz going for most of the trip, which is very unlike me. I don't actually drink that much, but I just couldn't. I needed some sort of coping mechanism because I was stuck on a boat. My husband was ranting about what was happening back home, so I just needed a coping mechanism, so I turned to drinking. But I wasn't ever stumbling drunk, but a couple afternoons I got pretty tipsy when we were hanging out by the pool, and then I would just like toddle on back to my stateroom and take a good couple hour nap, and then I'd be fresh as a daisy for whatever else was coming. So we, or my husband swam with the pigs. Didn't know that was a thing, but apparently in the Bahamas it is. And then in Cozumel, Mexico, we had signed up for a dune buggy tour. And a dune buggy tour is pretty cool because it gives you the opportunity to drive around the island I don't know if you've ever been, but Cozumel is a lot like Jamaica in the people harass you to buy stuff at every stop along the way on the sidewalks in town. So if you don't have an excursion plan there, I definitely recommend it, or go to a private resort or something where you're away from most of the vendors. Even the private resorts have vendor villages in them. So our dune buggy tour was going to take us, we toured around the whole entire Cozumel Island or whatever. And one of the stops we were stopping at allowed you to go scuba diving or scuba snorkeling. And then we were going to stop for lunch at another location. So I, of course, am planning, what do I wear? Because, of course, I'm a fashionista. I just happen to be an overweight fashionista. So I opted for wearing my swimsuit. They were my L.L. Bean shorts swimsuit, and they were of a little bit longer length, so they were normal shorts length. But they were lined, so they had a swimsuit liner inside of them, so you don't have to wear anything else. And then I had a tankini top with it, but of course I'm not going to go out in public like that. So I wore this swimsuit cover-up thing over the top, which had some great colors that matched my swimsuit bottoms. It didn't match my top. That happened to be a print, but it covered it up. So I thought, okay, I actually look pretty good. I look pretty decent. Well, turns out I didn't. So we get back from the cruise, and my husband posted a picture of the two of us standing out along the docks or the shore. And here I thought I was looking hotsy-totsy all day in my outfit. But no, I had extreme chub rub going on between my legs with these shorts. And so one of them was, tucked completely up into my crotch. So when the picture was taken, I looked like some disheveled beach, homeless beach person, basically. It's a horrible photo. And I asked my husband, why would you post this picture of me? This is just so awful. Couldn't you have, like, zoomed in a little and not shown a full body shot? Because it is a full body shot. I don't know about anybody else that's overweight, but we do not want full body shots. I want a crop at the shoulder. Maybe you can get a little boobage in there, but not a lot. Nothing that's going to show fat waist, belly, thighs, legs. Never, never. You never show those things. So my husband is like, "What? That's how you looked." I mean, like, if I couldn't pull that knife out of me fast enough, I mean, like, I thought I looked great the whole trip. And then I come home and I find out, no, you didn't look good. So anyway, so we're gonna go on this excursion. And my husband left his driver's license on the boat because he was leaving all of his stuff like that on the boat. And I, of course, am carrying my purse. So guess what? I have my driver's license. So they tell my husband, you can't drive the dune buggy because you don't have a valid driver's license. And when we get pulled over, they've been doing a lot of pulling our groups over just to make sure that people have driver's license. So guess what, Pilar? You get to drive the dune buggy, which was fine. It was a standard transmission. I grew up driving a standard transmission before I moved to the big city of Portland. I used to have a Miata a couple years ago that I drove that was also a standard transmission. So I was totally fine with it. The thing that wasn't cool is that all the other drivers in the tour that were driving dune buggies were men. And all of the men were making like snide remarks about how they hope I could keep up, blah, blah, blah. Basically talking shit because I was the only female driving a standard stick shift. And how it was set up was two couples in each, two sets of couples in each dune buggy, and then one person drives half, and then the other couple, the driver, designated driver, and that one drives half. Well, we had an odd number, and my husband and I ended up being in our own dune buggy by ourselves. So I drove the entire time. So They tell us as we're leaving, like they bring us over to our dune buggies. It's cuter than all get out. I mean, like it's a Volkswagen Golf that they turned into sort of dune buggy-ish by cutting the top off and sort of, it'd be like something you'd see in the, I think in the 60s or whatever, but it was awesome. They weren't dune buggies by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, you couldn't actually drive them on the beach, so that is what a dune buggy is. So we drove all on the road, a little off-road, but it was basically very hard-packed sand roadways too. So they bring us over to it, and the last person that must have driven before me had the seat so close up, and I'm in Mexico, so I am taller than most of the men there. I mean, for I would say I'm 5'7", and I was taller than maybe 70% of the men in that area. So, my husband's helping me push the seat back, but I'm still like, how the heck do I get into this thing? Because when I'm standing next to it, the top of the seat, the opening by the seat is up over my waist. So I'm like, how on earth am I going to get into this thing? And it's out in the blazing hot sun. So any skin that touches this vehicle is, scalded and hot, right? So the tour guide comes over to try to help me. And of course, there's snarky men in the other vehicles laughing because I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out how am I going to wedge my fat ass into this vehicle. And it is not pretty. So I finally get one leg up and over, and then, that's easier, but you kind of have to like contort and sort of shift back at the waist because you're trying to get under the top of it because they had the vinyl tops there and they didn't want to take those off until we'd gone to our resort location. And then for whatever reason, they said weather is more conducive to, take the cover off then. So, I'm trying to like crawl under this flap. It was almost like crawling into the back of a pickup truck. That's about the distance I had to get in, but I had to get both of my fat legs and my fat butt into the seat and then get the seat belt on. And my husband, of course, is no help. He's just like on his phone, dinking around, whatever. So I finally get in there and I'm feeling all accomplished. And then I'm like, holy shit, now I have to drive this thing out, But I did fine. I only stalled it once, and that was just me getting used to the clutch. It was right when I first got the dune buggy. But I would say dune buggy tour was fun, except for here's the deal. They took us to a private resort, which was just a hotel with its own private beach and a vendor village. And those vendors are relentless anytime you're in the area. And then, so we didn't actually even go snorkeling. My husband and I just sort of crashed on a beach chair and just kind of relaxed because it just felt so good to be away from all the crowds from the cruise ship. I just, I was just so tired and mentally done with the cruise at that point. So for me, it was much more relaxing to just hang out, watch people. However, I did have the view of a woman that was sun tanning. And I just want to say more power to her. She was, she is proud of her body. She's wearing one of those thong bikinis, sun tanning. However, the end that I was looking at was from her feet direction at her on her tanning bed. And the view just was not right. I mean, because all you saw was butt cheeks and hoo-ha and I think I was seeing a lot more than you were supposed to see when she's covered up in the thong bikini. And it wasn't a flattering look for her either. So I would hazard a guess that if her husband snapped a photo of her from that angle and posted it on Facebook, she'd be pretty pissed. But she didn't know. But I mean, she was rocking a white bikini, thong bikini. And yeah. Me, of course, I'm barely, if I could go in a onesie out in the ocean where I was covered from head to toe, I probably would be better off. So then we went to a second location where they fed you a dinner free dinner as part of your tour. It was the grossest food I've ever had in my life, and I didn't actually even really eat anything. I just sort of pushed the food around. I barely took anything because you could tell it was pretty much a mom and pop or, thing. And but what I was terrified of is that the restaurant where you were eating were these slabs of wood. You were suspended up in the air with these rickety stairs up either side, and I'm just like, holy crap, I'm gonna fall through this, and my husband better not stand next to me because he's a big guy. So we're gonna go through if he's standing next to me. But it so happened that there was a waiter there that was very large. He was short and very rotund. And when he would walk, you would see the boards that he was walking on dip down. So I'm just like, okay, so I can't have my husband near me, and if this waiter comes near me, I can't be stepping on the same board that he's on because we're going down. So I kind of, when you're terrified that like a chair is going to break on you, you sit on the edge of it and you're like terrified and ready to spring out of it at a moment's notice. That was basically me while there I was, futzing around with my food. I drank my bottle of water and then I wandered out to just stare at the ocean and talk to a local vendor down there. But I will tell you, worst food ever. So definitely eat lunch before you go on the crew on the dune buggy trip, and then just plan on eating real food when you're back on the boat because it was the worst food ever. And I think my husband was kind of sick to his stomach later, so I think it has something to do with that food. I don't know. They're all really nice people, though. The bathrooms were sketch, but in any country that you go to, bathrooms are crazy. But yeah, I was so lucky that I didn't go through because I've had the horror of breaking a chair before. And it was actually when I was only like a size 16. And I was in my office, and they bought these really cheap chairs and table set as our lunchroom set because it was an office of all women. A lot of women were much heavier than me, and I happened to be sitting in my chair, and I felt the legs just separate, and I was down on the ground before I could even do anything about it. So I'm highly terrified of this happening to me again. So I would definitely not recommend that either if you can avoid it, because it is the worst to end up with on your butt on the floor wearing a dress and mixed company, not just all women, so you feel really embarrassed. But worst thing ever. So I kind of mentioned, I don't know if you ever do this, but a lot of times I will leave my house and I think I put a lot of effort into kind of, trying to be fashionable. And that's really hard to do when you're overweight because finding clothes that are fashionable now are like next to impossible. But I'll put a lot of work into trying to make myself as fashionable as possible, and I'm thinking I'm looking really good. And then, you're out with your friends or whatever, and you catch a glimpse of yourself in a mirror or on a window reflection, and the way it just like cuts you down like instantly is just horrible. I mean, like, and I obsess about it for hours afterwards about how crappy I look when I thought I was looking really good. So I guess I'm blessed that my mirrors at home make me look a lot skinnier, but I will tell you, it just is like, oh, it takes you down when you see that you don't look exactly like you perceive you do. And I don't know if skinny people have, I've never heard from skinny people that they've ever done this or ever felt like that, but I will tell you, overweight women, I feel for you because, wow, it is so horrible to think that you look good and then find out that you don't. So, we haven't taken a break for messages. I'm going to take a break and we will be right back.
You know, man.
All right, you guys. Thank you for sticking through our break from messages from our sponsors. This is Pilar Anderson, and you're listening to Fat Girl Talking. It's a podcast that I decided to put together. There is a Facebook group, so if you search for Fat Girl Podcast, you can find me there. If you would like to send me a message, you can send it to I am Fat Girl Talking at gmail.com. Or you have the option of leaving a voicemail message. If you search out the Anchor app and look for Fat Girl Talking, there is a link to leave a voicemail message or send us a message that way. So those are all options. I would love to hear your stories too. Because again, as I mentioned in my promo for this podcast, it's all about how you can cope with things, because it's embarrassing sometimes to be overweight. It's not embarrassing from a standpoint of, you know, you're embarrassed at the situation you're in. You're embarrassed because other people have a perception of you, and it's hard sometimes to handle it. So I would totally recommend, you know, not going there mentally, or figure out a way to make joke of it. But you know that most people, actually, when they lose weight, they're thought of as being not funny anymore. Overweight people, you know, you're stuck in that role where you're expected to be super funny, and it's, you're not always super funny, and sometimes you're hurting. So I feel for you, because I'm there too. So the last thing I wanted to talk about was from a travel and weight standpoint. My husband, when we first got married, we waited a year before we went on our honeymoon because we just couldn't afford it. I actually started working at the company my husband worked at the day after we got married. My honeymoon was a year at this facility before we could afford to take a honeymoon. But so we went to the Big Island in Hawaii. I'd never been to Hawaii before. We stayed at a timeshare condominium that was about 20 minutes up the hill from the beach. So it wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't a high end by any means, but it was actually very comfortable. It'd cool off really nice at night because it would get the ocean breezes. But as part of the staying at this timeshare condominium is you had to sit through a pitch for timeshares, you know, where they do the hard pressure sales. But by sitting through it, you got automatically 30% off of any trip or event that you book through the timeshare people. And so we knew we wanted to do at least one thing while we were on our week-long vacation. So we sat through this thing, the hard pressure sales, and you know, it's very hard to be pressured into something when at that time you had scrimped and saved to take your, you know, honeymoon and you weren't in a position to really buy a timeshare anyway. But often I look at the timeshares and you can buy the same timeshare still today for like $2,000 for a unit for 1 week in the year. And that's an indication of how low end it was compared to the others. But what did we know? And it was a really nice location. It turned into a really nice location for us. But what we wanted to do was go on a trail ride on horses. And we were talking to the booking agent at the condominiums, and she's like, there is a weight restriction. And she's looking at us, and my husband's like, what could it be? And it was like anybody over 230 pounds couldn't do the trail ride. And we both look at each other. I never discussed what I weigh. And I didn't know at that time, you know, we were only a year into our marriage. I didn't really know how much my husband weighed either. We weren't that nosy into each other's business at that point. And I think my husband still to this day has no clue how much I weigh. But we both just look at each other and he's like, do you have another option? So we ended up riding ATVs in a tour instead of riding the horses, because the only option for us to ride a horse or horse-like would be to ride a mule, which were much bigger and hardier And that was the term that they used at the timeshare office, hardier, to be able to withstand carrying someone of a heavier weight on their back. So, still to this day, my husband and I will talk about how it would be nice to lose enough weight so that we could go back and ride on the horse tour. But talk about a mood killer at that point when you find out you're too heavy to go on some of the excursions that you want. And now I see it a lot too on the cruise ship. There's so many excursions where if you're heavier, you can't go. So there's that as well. So I think you just have to, like, yep, it's my reality. I have to deal with it, and I just need to move on from that. So otherwise, gosh, you could take that to a really dark place and be really pessimistic about it. The fat tax. Have you ever noticed, like you're ordering something on Amazon and you this says it has extended sizes, so you're like, oh wow, this is like so great. They finally have sizes that accommodate. First, my advice would be really read those measurements because I've gotten stuff that's European sizing and that is whoo, way smaller than you expect it to be. So make sure you're really checking that out. But I'm talking about you could just be buying a white t-shirt and they say that they have extended sizes. And the minute you go up into like a 2X or a 3X, you're suddenly paying a higher price. You can go up through like an extra large with no extra cost. And if you've ever printed t-shirts, you know that this is the case. When the printing company sells you the t-shirt, they usually add on like $2 for a 2X or $3 for a 3X and so on. So you're paying the price for having overweight workers when you're printing them. But as a fat person buying clothes, you're paying what's called what I call the fat tax. There's the woman tax where women have to pay for things like, feminine products or whatever, even birth control, because most men, I mean, condoms, I guess, but most women end up with paying the brunt of the cost for birth control. Same with, disposable feminine products that they use every month. And they tax those as a luxury. That's so ridiculous. But from a clothing standpoint, you're paying for that tax because your clothes take more material, right, to make. And so they're passing it on to the consumer, but they're not passing it on to the consumer in a good manufacturing way. They're passing it on in a. So you're paying this tax because they're using more material to make your clothing. And instead of being a conscionable manufacturer and just passing it on, in a normal cost adjustment, you are paying more for that fabric. That makes sense in a way. But they're taking that and they're like tripling it, quadrupling it. And then you're paying so much more for the plus size version than you would have for the regular version. And it's crippling when you are trying to find fashionable clothes and you're trying, I mean, like workout clothes, don't even. With the plus size workout clothes, oh my gosh. It costs so much money just to get a decent sports bra. I can't even. Or underwear. Oh my gosh. So why do consumers go after you for so much money for, I mean, producers or manufacturers? I mean, it's horrific. So I tend to shop from places like online, QVC, where they go to a 3X in sizing and it's all one cost. And there is a tax involved there, but what they're doing is they're bringing up the cost of the skinnier people's clothing so that it's all the same price clear across the board, which is something that's attractive as a fat person because I'm like wanting clothes and I don't want to be singled out for my weight when I'm ordering stuff. the key is on something like that is finding stuff that is fashionable. Because if you have shopped online, you see the same t-shirt dress, the same skirt, whatever. It's all the same clothes just over and over again with very little change. And they just regurgitate it into new fabrics that year. And they're hoping that it will look more attractive. But reality is, it's the same darn skirt or the same whatever, and it is not fashionable after a while. So you need to really be scrutinizing if you're trying to dress on point, finding what's going to work for you. But the nice thing is that if you like that shirt, they carry it up to a size 3X. So you potentially, if you fit into a 3X, can get it. The only time that that backfires is when they do stuff like with the undergarments. I'm trying to think of what the name is. It's that Susan lady or Sarah lady that does the, oh my gosh, Spanx. But she has her own line that she does on QVC. Oh, I guess it is Spanx, but like her leggings or whatever, if it's a 3X legging, it's not even fitting a 2X person. So good luck getting that on. But it is nice that there is, for most manufacturers, you have that potential. Because I ride a motorcycle and I searched far and wide to find a motorcycle jacket. And I'll tell you that a size 2X motorcycle jacket is not a real 2X. It's more like a size 12. In fact, I bought a 2X sweatshirt with padding, and it was from S Strengthen Armor or something like that. So cute. It was on clearance. You couldn't return it, so I was taking a chance, but I got it for only like $40. And I got it home and I couldn't even get it zipped. I mean, like, even if it was skin tight, I couldn't get it zipped. It was so tight. And so when a coworker of mine started dating a fellow that had a motorcycle and she was riding on it a lot, she told me she was riding without any clothing. I'm like, you know what? I have this armored sweatshirt that it's not super fashionable. You're not going to be in black leather or anything, but you can have it because I'm never going to fit in this thing. But I ended up buying a 5X leather jacket when I would normally wear a size 2X. 5X! And that is still skin tight, like to the point where it's almost uncomfortable. And so, if you're buying women's sizing in motorcycle, forget the pants. There is a, oh, I'll have to look it up. I'll share it. If you happen to be a motorcycle rider, there is a lady that wears, that makes Kevlar leggings. She's out of California. But they are awesome. And she goes up to like a size 30 in these Kevlar leggings. And they're real size 30. They're not like, they're not the crazy normal motorcycle clothing sizing. And she does these leggings and an armored sweatshirt that I wear a normal 2X in. And I just want to kiss the ground this woman walks on because she did real sizing and she offers it for plus size women because there is no other motorcycle pants that I can possibly even find. I can't even get waterproof gear. I mean, unless I guess went into a men's where it'd be way too long and not fit quite right through the crotch. I guess I could do that with waterproof something over the top, but at least I can get these Kevlar leggings on and they're so comfortable. Lots of women talk that they wear them actually as their work pants because they ride their motorcycle to work and then that's what they wear all day. I don't ride my motorcycle a whole lot because I'm the one that has to drive. I have a motorcycle with a sidecar, so my husband rides in the sidecar and he doesn't have a motorcycle license, so it's not as enjoyable for me. It'd be really cool. The plan was he was going to get a motorcycle license also, and we're going to find another used sidecar motorcycle. And we were going to go camping and stuff with our motorcycles with our dogs in the sidecar. That has not come to fruition yet, but but finding the clothing, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go and get custom. Like if I wanted chaps or something, I would have to get them custom made to me because I just do not see that I would be able to do anything as far as the motorcycle clothing. I have tried every time. Like, and also the styles are so unattractive. Most women don't look good in a bomber jacket style, and that's what most motorcycle jackets look like. So I'm not a big fan. I don't, my motorcycle is not, it's a Russian motorcycle, so it's not normal branding. So I don't have like Harley gear or anything like that. But I bought my husband, it was just, it's almost like a soft shell, but it's armored Kevlar lined jacket off of Amazon that says Honda on it. And I tried it on when it came in, and I'm like, dang, I like this, but I'd actually like it just a little size bigger. So I actually purchased one in a 3X. He got a 2X, and I got a 3X. And it looks less like a normal jacket, but it has the motorcycle armor in it and the Kevlar lining. So I don't care that I don't drive a Honda. I'm going more for the fit and how, and that seems like it'll be more of like a good waterproof, comfortable jacket. And then I can always fit my Kevlar sweatshirt hoodie with the armor as well underneath it. And so much more comfortable that way. But why are motorcycle manufacturers that make riding gear just totally ignoring women that are plus size and giving us the stupidest sizing that ever existed? I mean, come on. I just wonder, like, why can't I run a clothing manufacturing company? Because I would do right by my girls. I would make clothes that are both curvy for apple shape, everything possible, so that you could feel comfortable doing the things that you love to do in decent clothes. And you're not going to have your belly hanging out unless you want it to be. Your butt's not going to slip out of your pants when you bend over. And that's the other thing, work clothes. I actually buy men's pants to wear to work. I dress almost androgynously. I work at a company that's mostly men, and I dress very non-feminine at work. But as a whole, when I'm by, on my time away from work, I actually dress very femininely. So it's kind of funny to me. There, I'm very androgynous because I wear men's work pants because of the pockets and the ability to be able to put stuff in my pants pockets. And I wear just the classic uniform of polos. And hello, very hard to find plus size polos that are decent. Every one that I've purchased, for whatever reason, they start shrinking in length. And they no longer cover even my waistband of my pants that I bought in women's. And at Costco or online, I can buy a 32 degrees polo shirt from the company 32 Degrees for men in a 2X. And it's long, it covers up my arms a decent. They're not like a cap sleeve, which looks so horrible for women with plus size, larger arms. So my arms are covered up, and it goes down to probably the tops of my thighs. So if I bend over to pick something up, I'm not showing my butt crack or underwear off to anyone. So yeah, and I just came to this realization probably like 6 months ago. Before that, I was always struggling with stretchy jeans or trying to find something to work, and then I couldn't even put a chapstick in your front pocket. And I want to be able to put my plus, my max cell phone, iPhone, in one of my work pockets, as well as keys and a chapstick. And so I want to encourage you to reach out to people that you notice that have really good clothes or things that you admire about them. One, everybody likes to know that what they're wearing is attractive or it makes them look good. But two, the reason why I even started searching out men's clothes in the be in, to begin with is I actually observed a lady working at my facility, and she was always wearing these cargo pants. And I finally asked her, I said, "Where are you getting these cargo pants from? Because I have never found any." And she's like, "They're men's cargo pants." And I'm like, "What?" That's crazy, you know, because you see all these fashion designers talking about how you can never wear men's clothes. But she loves them because she's a lot taller than a lot of people. So she loves that men's clothes, you know, you have so many lengths and pants length. I wear a 30, and she probably wears at least a 34, I would guess, because of her height. But then also, you can customize to waist size, where, you know, US women's sizes are crazy. And a lot of times, 30-inch inseam is the only option that you have. And sometimes, or they'll try to go after the taller audience, and then they'll get a 32-inch inseam. And then you're walking and your pants legs are dragging on the ground if they're too long for you. So definitely, you know, start observing people. You know, people, everybody finds some interesting stuff. And I always try to compliment people that I run into whenever I'm traveling or whenever I'm shopping or whatever. If I see somebody that, you know, just has like a really stellar piece of clothing, or they look really good, I'm going to tell them because everybody needs that. Everybody wants to know. Now, if somebody had told me when I was in Mexico that I had the chub rub going on and that it looked like my crotch was eating one of my legs of my swimsuit, you know, the picture on my husband's Facebook page would be a heck of a lot more flattering for me before that picture got snapped. So, do everybody a favor and just, you know, be out there spreading the good word and sharing knowledge as well. So, I want to thank you guys for joining me for this episode. On my next episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, appearances, but this one is appearances when you're eating out in a restaurant, or when you're grocery shopping. So those two things, because I am here to tell you that there are a lot of judgy people out there. And if they take a gander in your grocery basket, they are like sneering or judging you based on what you have in your basket. So we'll talk about it. Anyway, I'm Pilar Anderson. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Fat Girl Talking. Please reach out to me. My Facebook page is Fat Girl Talking Podcast. You're welcome to join there or find me on Facebook, Pilar Anderson, and send me a message if you have something that you'd like me to talk about. I have another interesting thing with the airlines as well for episode 3. So, yay, I'm so excited. I thank you all for joining me. Please give me feedback. I'd love to hear it. And if you like my podcast, please click that subscribe, rate my podcast. That's the only way you can build an audience is if people like it and are talking about it. And I've been watching the view or the views, the listens on my podcast, and it's kind of exciting to see it growing, but I'd really like to just get some feedback. I'd love to talk about something that you've come across, or if you want to share something, you have the ability to record a voicemail message on, you know, our podcast that I can share as well if you're interested in that, if you want a few seconds of fame. Anyway, thank you so much, and I will talk with you on the next episode.
You know, man.